Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of Spiritual Perspectives, where we get a chance to take a look at a very important topic from a biblical perspective. Joining us today is Mr. Leroy Barber, who has written a book entitled Embrace, God's Radical Shalom for a Divided World. I'm sure that many of you can agree very easily that our world is indeed divided. And even amongst the church, there's work to be done in bringing us together. Well, Leroy Barber is chaplain of Killens College. He's director of The Voices Project and author of Red, Brown, Yellow, Black, White, and Everyday Missions. He has also written, as I mentioned, this book entitled Embrace, and we're going to be sharing some powerful principles that he includes in this book that will encourage us and empower us to truly do our part to bring ourselves together in Christ. Leroy Barber, how are you doing?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Truly my pleasure. And I tell you what, I appreciate you so very, very much for this mission that you've taken on, which is not an easy one, but it's definitely an important one, encouraging us to come together and to truly be together. That said, I want to ask you something, Leroy. As you go across the country, because you travel, and you get an opportunity to talk with a lot of people, which means you get to hear from a lot of people, which means you get to observe a lot of people. I want to ask you, how well are we, particularly within the church, when it comes to matching our rhetoric with the reality of our lives, when it comes down to actually being one?
Well, I think we have a lot of work to do. Honestly, I believe people probably want, you know, unity, right? I'm not gonna judge that, but I do think it's a hard thing to get to, and when people get in the process of unifying or, you know, getting to know somebody who's different than them, you know, or trying to solve a problem with somebody different, that it becomes quite difficult. And in that difficult space is where we see people giving up, right? That expecting a easy path is probably a mistake, right? So, and I think that's where we get caught up. I think that's where a number of people get caught up.
Expecting it to be easy and discovering that it's difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely difficult. And to enter any conversation to think you're going to bring some things together or people together or build, you know, a lot of people like to talk about multiculturalism and those kind of things. Those are not easy things. Those are quite difficult things to move into. And the sooner we understand that, I think, the sooner we'll get down this path.
And one of the things...
And not that there aren't And not that there aren't any successes, but the success far outweighs the difficulty and the failures around a lot of this.
And along the way, you know, it seems like many times that when we are pursuing something that is truly worthwhile, we're going to meet with difficulties. And I think that that's so important when we realize that one of the things that you talk about, of course, the subtitle of the book is God's Radical Shalom for a Divided World. Mm-hmm. But within that whole realm of that radical shalom, one of the things that you share with us is the need to actually pursue radical shalom. It's not going to just drop into our laps. We've got to actually pursue it.
Right, right. Well, and I think in the book, we paint a picture, right, of out of using a springboard of Jeremiah 29. And that springboard is quite convicting when you look at it, right? That here's a group of people that have lost the war and are being taken captive, right? And as they're being taken captive, we see this call that God gives to them to love the place Babylon that just beat them in a war, right?
Right.
And that's quite convicting, because you would think, like, the victors are who you're telling to love and to take care of, and the people with the resource, or the people, you know, like have something positive on your side to go and reach across the aisle to someone. And that's really not what's happening here, right? It's the people who lost that God is challenging to love, and they didn't want to do that. And that's where we sit, a lot of us, right? It's the challenge to love the other that we don't care about, we don't want relationship with, who's hurt us, any of these kinds of things, that becomes quite difficult, right? And obviously that's not counting, you know, abusive situations, right? But there are a number of people probably on all of our lists, right, that we don't want to get to, that we don't want to reach across the aisle towards. Mm-hmm.
And for one reason or another. And what are some of those, you mentioned the fact that, you know, like in Israel's case, they had just been defeated by Babylon. I mean, they were really just beat down and humiliated. They were going to be in captivity for 70 years by the folks who had defeated them. We could kind of see the difficulty with them being able to just embrace the ones who had defeated them. What about in our case, though? You talk about, you use that metaphor, I like it too, because it's so appropriate, reaching across the aisle. Here in America, what are some of the specific reasons that we can find it so difficult to reach across the aisle to, quote unquote, them or to those other people?
Well, we have our list, right? And that list, folks we disagree with, right? That's at the top of our list, right? I don't agree with this person, and so I'm not going to try to reach across the aisle. That could be a theological matter, right? That could be a political matter, right? That could be as you know, simple as I don't like their sports team, right? It goes the whole gamut of people that we don't want to, that we disagree with, that we don't want to love or reach across the aisle, or people that we think we're better than, right? That's a big cat, right?
Yeah.
Better than that particular person or group of people. And so I don't need to reach across the aisle to them. You know, there's all these folks who lie to us or stab us in the back, those kinds of things, right? Those become the people that we just don't reach out to.
And when we decide that we don't want to reach out to them, what benefits are there from that mindset, that position? What disadvantages are there to that position?
Well, I mean, obviously the disadvantages, are things that we're facing today, right? Like these giant political hurdles that we can't get across, right? That polarized on one side or the other. You know, we have these issues of gender, right? Where we have major problems, right? And the list, like, you know, women, you know, being less than men in our society, or Native Americans being invisible, right? That we don't talk about a reach across the aisle. We have all of these little nuances to create the other in our lives, right? Simple things like, do you rent your home or are you a homeowner? Because one is obviously better than the other, right?
Right.
Like you know, dark skin is worse than light skin, right? Or, you know, kinky hair versus straight hair. Yeah, we got all of these categories, right? You know, obviously, you know, Americans are better than Iraqis, right? Right? I mean, don't you think so? Right?
I hear you.
So, the list goes
on and on. And it's so easy for us to separate ourselves, divide ourselves along all these artificial lines. And I like something that you write about in your book as well, Leroy, when you talk about cultural assumptions and you bring that home by talking about your experience as a child on during the Thanksgiving holiday when it was time for you to decide whether or not to eat some pumpkin pie.
Right. Right. Well, now that's the big category, right? Cultural assumption. That takes us into a whole other realm, right? Because now we start to talk about, let's talk about the church a little bit, right? And folks wanting to be multicultural, right, in their churches and yes. multi-ethnic. And, you know, we're finding, unfortunately, that a lot of times that just means you want the faces of different people of color in your mix, but you don't want different cultures, because different cultures mean something completely different, right?
Right.
And we can use that simple example of pumpkin pie versus potato pie. I never heard of a pumpkin pie. Right? At that time in my life, I didn't know what a pumpkin pie, I didn't even know what that was. Right? And the assumption was that everybody ate pumpkin pie in the school I was in, because the school I was in was majority white. And their assumption was, what do you mean you don't know what pumpkin pie? That's what everybody eats pumpkin pie. And those are the types of things that get us in major trouble with one another, right? Those types of assumptions.
And you mentioned, Leroy, that this situation, I mean, we're talking about pumpkin pie in 2018, and, you know, we've had a bit of the mixing of the cultures, and so it may be a situation that a lot of people may consider now to be a non-issue. But then it was a major issue, I mean, to the point where, for you, pumpkin pie was like Greek. You know, this is something new to me. What are
right.
you talking about? But your peers actually laughed at you when they discovered that you weren't aware of pumpkin pie.
Right.
And without
right.
regard
and,
for
you know,
your feelings?
Well, I mean, that was in the 70s, right? So that was a lot different, right? So as far as culture being separated. And I don't think, I think we still have some of these major situations happening,
yes.
right? That folks don't know culturally how other people live, or if they do, then the situation might be a little bit worse now, because if they do, then they decide that culture is not as good as their own, and they don't honor that culture, right? So that, to me, is worse than what I had, because it was ignorance before. Now it's not ignorance, right? It's choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm choosing that to say your culture is not acceptable, and I'm not going to honor that. That becomes a worse situation to me, a lot worse.
And it seems that in a case like that, where we do have a push for more multiculturalism in the churches, that if, mm-hmm. as you shared earlier, it's just a matter of bringing more faces of color of different ethnicities into the mix, but there's not going to be an embracing of the cultures. In other words, hey, we'll do the easy part. Let's get the other faces in here. But we don't want to do the hard part of actually getting the cultures to blend. We're going to reject the culture, right. although we'll accept the face.
Exactly, right? And to me, that's a worse situation. That then is letting someone know that you do think that they're less in a number of different ways, right? That what they know and experience culturally is not something you want to be a part of or even honor in any kind of way,
yeah.
right? That's where we start to lean into our problems, right? And especially in Christian circles. Our big problem is culture, in my opinion.
And that is something that we really got to work on. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Leroy Barber. He's written a book entitled Embrace, God's Radical Shalom for a Divided World. When we come back, We're going to focus a little bit more on two things. One, I'm going to ask Leroy to give us a more in-depth introduction to Leroy, which I deliberately put off in that first segment. We're going to get to know him better when we come back, and we're also going to find out more about this word, shalom. Stay with us. We'll be right back. However, great.